All right. We've been working our way through Ecclesiastes, and we know that in these final two chapters, what Solomon is doing is finally winding up his teaching and saying that that the key thing is, while you're young, you want to sow bountifully. And then he also said, when you're young, you've got to find a good way to be charitable and to take heed to thyself. And now we get into the 12th and the final chapter, and he spent a lot of time on the youth because he realizes the youth has a lot of time ahead of him. He's got decades ahead of him. But now he's going to give another reason why the youth might want to pay attention in chapters 12, verses 1 through 7. He says to these listening, "Now remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." And he's saying there's going to be a time coming when we're going to look at the infirmities of old age. And he's going to use a lot of poetical, metaphorical descriptions of what it's like to be old through the rest of the verses. But what he's saying to the young ones is, while you're still young, now's the time to remember your Creator. Don't wait until you're old. The attitude of most young people is, I'll do it later. And when they find out that that there's a God and there's eternity and they're going to spend eternity with God, well, I'll worry about that then. Right now, let me worry about the here and now and take care of things now. And this is a good advice for people, is to remember the Creator in the days of thy youth while you're young. One or two. How many do you need? There you go. And this is, what a difference it would make. Solomon was noticing in Israel that the youth were beginning to drift away from worship at the temple and spending time in their prayers and getting close to God. And as they drift away, they get involved in other things which are worldly, and the various lusts and the pleasures of the world. And it actually begins to bring them down. Now, what a blessing would be here in this country if we would begin to have our children remember their Creator while they're young. Now, the purpose of the world is to take them away from that. The world's going to do everything possible to get them to deny their Creator. So the world has set up an entire system, a forced educational system, where you're mandated to send your kids to school. And at the school, they're going to learn a religion called humanism. And that humanism is that man is the measure and the glory of all things, that man came about by some spontaneous process of evolution and a big bang, and man created God, not God created man. And you can begin the denial of God. It's begun real early. They start immediately. The first thing they'll do, we'll talk about it Wednesday night when we see in Job chapter 41, no, Job chapter 40 will be in, where God describes dinosaurs in the Bible. But of course, he doesn't use the word dinosaur. So the world, what the world always does, it'll take a new word, it'll make some new word up. So it made this word up in the 1800s, dinosaur, meaning big, terrible lizard. And you give it, and you use a bunch of Latin and Greek and make this fancy new word, and then you begin to teach it to people, and then you teach it to the kids when they're little. Now, kids love big things. So kids are naturally drawn to dinosaurs, big animals. Wow, bigger than an elephant. Wow, that's amazing. And then you start telling them when they're 4 and 5, yes, and these lived millions of years ago. And instantly you're discrediting the Creator and the word of his Bible. And so you've got kids instantly thinking, well, that Bible has to be wrong. First off, the word dinosaur is not in there. How can something that important not be in that book? And then, of course, they were millions of years ago taught by a bunch of liars that run an education industry, because that's what the education is there for, is so that the world, by wisdom, will not know God. And so the youth don't know their Creator. And then they go off crooked in a wrong direction. And by the way, you just take any tree and you let a tree start to grow this way, sideways. and it's under pressure its whole life because it's fighting gravity to stay up. Every time it bears a new branch, it's fighting. It's an unsteady, difficult tree. It has difficulty bearing fruit. And men are like trees, and when they're growing up in a crooked direction, they're going to struggle the rest of their life. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. There are very few that have done it. Bob Jones Sr. did. Dwight L. Moody did. There are men that got saved when they were young, and look at the impact they had on their generation and the generations to come because they turned to the Lord when they were young. And, of course, we have most of our heroes that we've learned about in school are people who didn't even know their Creator. And you can just go through the list of the most famous people, Mark Twain, Bertrand Russell, and go on to all the people that Darwin, all these folks who did not know their Creator. So the admonition is a good one to the young one. Now's the time. And the other reason you want to do it, he tells you, is because when you get older, all the days aren't going to be pleasant anymore. They're not going to be as much fun. And when you're a kid, you wake up with energy and zest and ready to face the next day and a smile on your face and you feel good. But when you get older, these days become like evil, he says in the end of verse 1. You start saying, I don't have any pleasure in these days. The sun, the light, the moon, the stars, they become darkened at that time. When you're young, they're not darkened, but when you're older, they are darkened. Nor the clouds return after the rain. Here's what he's saying is, when you're young, if you have a period of showers of turmoil in your life, for example, me, when I was growing up, I'm doing just fine. I'm having a good time playing with the kids, doing whatever, reading books, playing, having fun. And I got this pain. I don't know what this pain is. I got this pain. I ignore it. I play through it. Finally, they examine it, and they say, you got a tumor. You've got a tumor growing off of your left kidney. It's getting larger. I was 12, 13 years old. It's about the size of a lemon. Now it's an orange. Now it's growing to a grapefruit. We have to operate and take this tumor out. It's okay. And I'm 13 years old, and I got to go in a hospital. I'm going to be in a hospital. Back then, it was a big deal for weeks. You're going to be cut up. I'm going to be left alone. Mom and Dad can visit during visiting hours. They're not going to be other times. And I have major surgery. And back then, it was a real problem getting that tumor out. I got a scar that goes from this rib down all the way across, comes over to here. They had to open everything up to get in there, to get the exposure they needed. They had to put tubes inside of me. After surgery, I had the tubes sticking outside of my belly. Okay, big deal. So what? Who cares? But here's the key. I'm a kid. You recover. I mean, by the time I was 14 and a half, 15, I'm out running around. I'm playing again. The period of rain passed, and it was sunshine. But not when you're old. You get one thing, and no sooner than it passes, another thing is on the horizon, and another cloud comes after the rain. And when it rains, it pours, and it's just one bad thing after another. And one ache leads to another, and one doctor's visit leads to another. And you know how it is. And it's different when you're older. Like an old car. Yes. It's just one that versus the radiator, and then it's the transmission, and then the brakes are shot, and that's what it is. And that's what he's saying is you want to, when you're young and you serve God, you're going to have that energy. You're going to have that strength. And if a period of adversity comes, some rain, afterwards will be the sunshine, and you're going again. But when you're older and you're trying to serve the Lord, when it rains, it pours. It's one thing after another. And that's what he's saying. He goes on. I mean, look at some of the poetical phrases he uses here. You see, when the keepers of the house shall tremble. All right, well, the house is, it's our body. 2 Corinthians 5, Paul speaks about our earthly dwelling, our earthly tabernacle. Job speaks of, we have a house of clay. That's our body. And the keepers of our house are our hands. How do you keep up? How do you comb your hair? How do you put the makeup on, ladies? How do you get dressed? How do you do the jobs you need to do? Your hands. And he says, when you get old, all of a sudden, the keepers of your house are trembling. You start to get volitional tremors. when you're trying to do something, like with Parkinson's, sometimes you get a still tremor when you're not even doing anything. It's just shaking when you're at rest. The different things that begin to happen. When the strong men shall bow themselves. Well, the strong men, what holds you up? Well, in the body, the strongest part of a man is spoken of as the legs in Psalm 147. And you talk to any individual that's involved in any form of weightlifting, you might be able to curl so much, you might be able to standing press so much, you might be able to bench press so much, you can probably leg press all three put together. Your legs are the strongest part. You can walk all day long on your legs, but when you get old, they start to bow a little bit. They're not as strong. All of a sudden, the knees are a little bit weaker. All of a sudden, the hips are a little bit weaker. The legs aren't as steady as they used to be. You lose your balance and fall easier when you get older.
Yes,
it's, yes. Yes. Would have to be this week, wouldn't it? You see, she's pointing at me because I went out to get the mail this week, and I ran out quickly in sandals, which was a mistake. I almost always wear sneakers, but I was preparing to teach Bible. It was a Wednesday, and I'm preparing to teach Bible, and I went out, and when I came up, there's a broken part of our curb, and my foot got trapped in it, and the sandals came off, and I did a full, well, I was going to hit the, I somersaulted on the concrete, hit my hands, my shoulders, I'm kind of all bruised up, but I don't think that would have happened. Yeah, I could have really busted my face if I hadn't done a tuck and roll. But anyways, that these things happen when you're older. That didn't happen to me when I was young, you know. So these things, a big deal. Anyways, verse 3. And the grinders, that's your teeth, cease because they're few. They start falling out. All of a sudden, a cavity here, a cavity there. You got gaps in the mouth. Now it's nice that, yeah, crack tooth here, things like that that begin to happen. You need a bridge. If we live in a time we can get bridges. Back then, in Solomon's day, they didn't have those things. And it takes a lot of the joy out of serving and working when it's hard and you're gumming your food and you're eating cream of rice all the time and things like that. It's just not the same. So... What she say? Yeah, yeah. I like it, but it can take some of the joy out of fellowship. Anyways, he's just saying to the young man, now's the time to serve before these things happen. And those that look out of the windows be darkened. Now the window is the eye, and the window is the gate that your soul has to see the world. And I guess you can maybe see a person's soul in their eyes, but. Not anymore. Most people seem soulless. But anyways, and those that look out the eyes, the retina looks out the eyes, and it gets darkened because of cataracts. And these thickening lenses begin to happen, and they get darker and darker. And I've been in on a lot of cataract surgery. For 1 year, I worked at an eye surgery center, and that's all we did. We did 1,000 cataracts in that year. And I was in there doing the anesthesia and watching them pop these little gray lenses out of people's eyes and then putting little plastic ones in their place. That's what you do. You take the old lens out, you put a new one in. And it is remarkable for the person that gets it, because the darkening process is slow and gradual, and you almost don't even notice it happening. It's a little bit every day, a little bit every week, and you kind of get used to it. And then all of a sudden it seems dark one day. And then all of a sudden, when they pop that up and put a clear one in, you go, wow, what a difference. I can see so much better. And but back then, and even today, we still get the windows get darkened like that. Verse 4, and the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low. The sound is low. That's our ears begin to lose hearing. And then the door... And remember, the ear is the door to faith, not the eye. Jesus said, I am the door. The door to true faith comes through the ear. Faith cometh by hearing. And so the sound gets low as you grow older, and you lose first a high pitch, And then, and you're not even aware of the loss of high pitch. But then you start losing mid-range pitch and lower pitch, and things are, what did you say? In a regular conversation, you don't know what people are saying anymore because your ears are going. And then eventually the doors are shut and you go deaf. And these things happen from different ways. Now again, we live in a time with medical technology. They're able to look at the... let's say the three different ways that hearing can go, whether it's the outer ear, whether it's the middle ear, whether it's the inner ear, and they have ways of working with it. And so I would say I would avail myself of some of that technology. We've had people that go to this church here that say they can't hear me, which is probably a blessing in a lot of ways. But let's say they did want to hear me. And they're struggling. We had someone that used to go here, and then they got a hearing aid, and they said, what a difference all of a sudden with the hearing aid in. But when you're young, you don't have to worry about that. When you're young, your hearing is great. Your vision is great. You can be in a worship service. You can hear all the songs. You can participate in all the songs. You're going to mention another part of singing in a minute. You can see the writing that the teacher is doing up there. He's saying, son, now's the time to remember your Creator. Don't wait till you're older, because in your older, if you want to do it, you may be physically impaired in attempting to do it. Yes, brother.
Two things, Pastor. The strong man, like the weightlifters, years ago, like Arnold Schwarzenegger, as an example.
Yeah.
When they get older, most football players, when they get older, they have serious problems with their legs.
You were mentioning that strong men have serious problems with legs when they get older. Yes. The ears and the eyes, yeah.
I have a hearing problem.
Okay.
To experience it. When a person is young and they go out to these rock concerts.
Oh, yes. Yes.
So loud.
Yes.
When the music's so loud.
Yes.
They may not experience a hearing problem then.
Immediately. That's a good point you're making, is that one of the problems of the era that we live in. Now, Solomon didn't live in a time like that. We have amplifiers, and kids go to events, whether it's a sporting event or an entertainment event, and amplifiers are pumping up things very loud and hitting the eardrums constantly with these sound waves that begin to weaken the eardrum and eventually cause the loss of hearing. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I to make money through college, I wasn't saved. You know, I worked in rock and roll bands. I worked in some of the loudest venues in the city. But even at that time, I said, I'm going to ruin my ears. So I used to have this trick. I would stuff them with cotton, and then people could see the cotton. And so then what I did, they didn't have good earplugs back then. I put headphones over, and I would take the cord of the headphone and tie it to the leg of my piano, which no one could see. And people thought I was plugged in listening to the sound. But I was just blotting everything out up there. I just heard enough to know the guitarist is playing. I got to play with him here. But I was knocking everything down so my hearing still held up. But yeah. Anyways, but nonetheless, doing that, whether you do this or don't do this, you know, the doors will be shut eventually, and the sound will first be brought low. And the other thing that happens, verse 4, is the old man or old woman rises up at the voice of the bird. We tend to get awakened early. When we were younger, it was, now, because of the crazy job I was in, but, you know, I had to get up. I had to be at the hospital at 7 o'clock. I couldn't sleep in. But if I had a Saturday where I didn't have to be on call, I could sleep in. I mean, I could stay in that bed till 10, 11 o'clock in the morning. My body would just relax and unwind, and I'd get that natural. You can't do that anymore when you're old. Even when I want to get a good night's sleep, all of a sudden, what am I waking up at 6:45 for? I don't, and if a bird sings outside, I'm up. It didn't bother me when I was 20-something years old or 30 years old, but now all it takes is a few birds outside. That's it. Night shot. And it you just can't stay asleep anymore. You can't sleep like in younger days. You're awakened early in the morning. And the crazy thing is then, because of the loss of sleep, you can't stay awake during the day. You can't sleep at night. No matter where you are, you belong somewhere else. It's just very difficult. Now, only the old people are understanding this. Young people are looking at us like, what's your problem? Yes. But Solomon now is older when he's writing this, so he's giving some practical wisdom to the young ones. That's the other thing he says, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. The vocal cords thicken as we get older. A lot of things thicken and harden with age. Arteries thicken and get harder. The suppleness begins to go. It's part of the corrupting process. When you're young, I think you're 66% water, almost to 70%. But as you get older, you begin to dry up and get brittle. And all of a sudden, you're only 50% water. And things get thicker and harder because they're not as lubricated. And the lubricant, you know, is lost everywhere. In the joints, so you get arthritis here. In the knees, so the knees are stiff, you know, and all these type of things. And the vocal cords go through the same thing. And they get thicker, and they lose those suppleness. And all of a sudden, a soprano becomes an alto. And an alto becomes a tenor. And a tenor becomes a bass, you know. And then your wife sounds like Louis Armstrong, what she calls you. No, that's never happened in our home. But it's a possibility if we continue down here a little longer. Yes. I'm cold, you can tell. Also, another thing that happens, verse 5, is when they shall be afraid of that which is high. And the truth is, when you're young, you climb trees. I used to, one of the things we used to do where I grew up in the city there wasn't a lot of backyard, and there were garages, and they were we'd climb the garages, and we'd jump from garage to garage. I don't think my wife or I want to go jumping from garage to garage today. Elderly people are afraid of stairs. They're afraid of ladders. They're afraid of walking at high places, balconies. They just don't have the balance. They don't have the surety anymore that they had when they were young. They're afraid of that which is high.
Except for Norma, she still cleans her
gutters. Yes, except for good old Norma. She still cleans the gutters. Yes.
91.
Yeah. And the other thing that happens with elderly people are fears are in the way. They don't want to walk alone down a city street. They don't want to go somewhere in the way, particularly when it's dark. But even when it's light anymore, they just don't have the confidence. But when I was a little kid, Ma, can I go to the public library? You mean the one near us? No, the one they just built downtown. I'm living on the east side of Buffalo. I'm 11 years old, 10 years old. I'm going to go downtown. Okay. So I walk to the Genesee. I take a Genesee bus. I get down there. I walk to the library. I wasn't afraid. I went downtown. I read some books. I came back home. I'm going all over the city at 11. My bike, I wasn't afraid. I got on, if my mom knew where I went on my bike. Oh, my goodness. But an older person, they don't want to do that. They don't even want to get on a bike. And if they do, they don't want to go more than down the driveway and back, and that's it. I mean, they're afraid of going on the way. And I understand, because they're just unsteady. They're unsure. So is that the time to serve God? I say you still should serve God. You can pray. You can read. You can still bring forth fruit by telling people. But when you're young, you want to be a missionary like David Livingstone and head to Africa at 70 or 80 years old? I mean, do you ever read his life story? That's a good story to read, David Livingstone and what he did, and went down Africa to read about the trip that he took down the Nile River and how he went all the way down into Rhodesia and areas like that. Pretty impressive, but he was young. He was strong. He had youth. He was serving his Creator while he was young. These are things you even if you have a desire to do them, you really can't do them. So remember the Creator in the days of thy youth. I remember I went to a youth camp in North Carolina, took a bunch of kids. I was the doctor for that week. This was 1997. And as we drove in, the big sign as we were coming in was, remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth, for all the kids coming into the camp. And it's a good thing. Let's see what else we got. So you're afraid of the height, verse 5, fears are in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish. That means nothing to us, but if you lived in the Middle East, and go online and take a look and ask for a picture, an image of an almond tree in winter. And what happens at the almond tree in winter is all the leaves change to like a bright white. He's talking about the hair going white. That's what he's saying about. And so you see the almond tree, and all of a sudden it's this big, white, shiny thing, and That's all he's just talking about. One of the other things that happened in old age, you lose the beauty of the blonde and the brunette and the redhead, and all of a sudden you just got white hair, which, okay, I guess to someone it might be attractive, but it's not. Anyways, who cares about attractiveness? It's brittle. It falls out. That's if you still retain it. The almond tree flourishes. Then it loses its leaves, by the way. Verse 5, and the grasshopper shall be a burden. Back in Numbers chapter 13, when they were getting ready to, they wanted to search out the land. And Moses said, okay, take one person from each tribe and go search the land and bring us a report. And they came back, and 10 of the guys said, there are giants in the land. We were as grasshoppers in thy sight. It means little ones. Take the pebble from my hand, grasshopper. They have no idea what I'm talking about. But there was a very famous show back in the 70s when Kung Fu was being introduced to people here in America, and it was called Kung Fu. And in it, the young boy went to the Shaolin Temple to become a monk and learn Kung Fu. And his master would say, take the pebble from my hand, grasshopper. He was just a little boy. And the grasshopper is a little boy. And what happens is when you're old, the grasshoppers become a burden. Children... Anyways, now I know it's hard for us to relate because we live in America where children are a burden even if you're 20. But the reason they are is because they're not trained biblically at all. They're trained like heathen. They're trained to be self-centered, and all the commercials aim toward that, and their foolish friends aim toward that, and the educational system encourages them to rebel against their parents. And remember, we're smarter than your parents, and your parents are a bunch of fools. And they're a burden to everybody, to their parents and the aunts and the uncles and little kids. But it wasn't like that in Israel. It wasn't like that when a child was a source of joy, and you enjoyed having them around, and pleasure, and you would laugh, the innocent laughter of youth, and you would play out that, and it was a lot of fun. But old people couldn't do it anymore. It was a burden even to do that, just because of the infirmities that had come upon them. Yes. Children should work. That's right. Absolutely. Kleenex. Is there any Kleenex here? Yeah. Yeah. Oh, no, there's no question. Yeah. What the woman is saying here, for those of you listening, is that women, children are actually meant to work. And the labor laws, which the liberals have presented as a way for good for the kids, have destroyed the kids, and they've destroyed the relationships. And God works. He wants his children to learn to work. Your children, you ought to learn to work. And children should work. Work is part of the reality of life. Yeah, yeah, that's the way you start working, and one of the reasons kids are a burden to people at every age is they don't know how to work anymore. But back then, the children worked side by side; they weren't a burden; they were a blessing. But to the older people, it became hard. Maybe because even the kids said, "Let's go out and work in the field." I don't feel good right now. I'm going to sit at home," says the older person. So the grasshopper becomes a burden, and then he says, "And verse 5, and desire shall fail." As you get older, your body's nerves don't work as well. The neurotransmitters start to dry up. The nervous system becomes kind of dull. And many of the former joys and pleasures are lost just because the nervous system isn't work and desire fails. There's a story in the book of Samuel. I got it written down there. 2 Samuel chapter 19. And this is when David is regathering all the people back to Jerusalem. And God is bringing a second blessing to David. And as they're regathering everyone, people are joining up with David to cross over the Jordan River to come in with him to Jerusalem. And it says in 2 Samuel chapter 19, there was a man named Barzillai, the Gileadite, verse 31. And Barzillai was a very aged man, even 80 years old. He was 80. And he had provided the king some sustenance while he was at Mahanaim. And he was a great man, a very great man. Barzillai, in God's eyes, the Holy Ghost is writing, he's a great man. He was a great man because he was serving a man that was serving God. And David was serving God, doing a work for God. And Barzillai served David, and God says, that's a great man that serves a man that's serving me. And anyway, so verse 33, the king says to Barzillai, come thou over with me, and I will feed thee with me in with Jerusalem. And then Barzillai says to the king, verse 34, how long have I to live that I should go with the king to Jerusalem? Verse 35, I'm this day 80 years old, and can I discern between good and evil? Can thy servant taste what I eat or what I drink? Can I hear any more the voice of singing men and singing women? Wherefore then should thy servant be yet a burden to my lord the king? And he's just saying, all the desire's gone. I used to enjoy good food. I can't even taste it anymore. I mean, it's like that episode of Frank Barone and Everybody Loves Raymond. He can't taste the food anymore. And that happens. And I know you're going to Jerusalem. There are going to be great worship services there at the temple. I can't even enjoy the singing. I can't hear that much anymore. The desire for life is gone. The evil days have come. Remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth before these evil days come. That's what he's trying to say. So back to where we are in Ecclesiastes 12. And then he says, then he puts the two dots after the word fail. And it's almost like a parenthesis until the next two dots from the colon to the colon. Because man's going to go to his long home and the mourners go about the streets. I mean, he's going to die. While you're walking around, your short home is walking on the planet. Your longer home is being buried in the planet. And that's just the reality of it. And even for those guys that live 900 years, they've been dead for 5,000. It's a longer home that they were down there than they were up on top of the planet. And at that point, then the mourners go about the streets mourning your death. But getting back to some of the particulars of the descriptions of old age before death occurs, he says in verse 6, another reason you want to do it is, or ever, that means like before the silver cord be loosed. The silver cord is the spinal column. And if you do studies in anatomy, you can see it's got kind of a silver glow to it. You notice God uses medical terms, but he doesn't use the medical terms. He speaks in common, plain sense that a common man can understand. He's not trying to impress you with big, fancy, great, swelling words. That's what modern man does in an attempt to impress people. So they'll be held in admiration of you because they've got some fancy words that you don't know. And the silver cord be loosed. What happens? All of a sudden the discs start to slip. They get loose. Those spinal discs used to be right perfectly in line. All of a sudden they're slipping out of place. When they start slipping out of place, the spinal column doesn't work as well. The nerves don't work as well as they used to work. And you lose effectiveness in terms of your hands don't work as well. That causes some of the tremors. Sometimes there's pain. There's sciatica down the leg, pain all the way to the toe because the spinal cord is being loosed. And you're not going to want to serve God at that time. You're going to have enough trouble just getting up and having breakfast and getting to your chair. So remember the Creator while you're young. Give him some of your better days, your best days. Another thing that happened, the golden bowl will be broken. The golden bowl. Now, in the Song of Solomon, it speaks of the head as gold. And the golden bowl is broken. And it doesn't work as well. Your memory, you start to lose your memory. You get Alzheimer's. You get senile dementia. Maybe even breaks. You suffer a stroke. And these are things that happen with old age. This is part of a just God giving the just rewards to people that wanted to live apart from him and go their own way and do every man that which is right in his own eyes. And those are the ways which lead unto death. And on the way to death is dis-ease. God says, oh, let him live an unhealthy, unrighteous, unholy lifestyle, and I'll just let him skate. He says, no, what they sow, they reap. And these things happen. And this process of dis-ease has passed on all men, saved or lost. So these are just good, solid truths that Solomon is given. And he's telling the young ones, don't wait till you're too old. Serve God now. He says, or verse 6, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain. The fountain of the flow of life, the life of flesh is in the blood, and the fountain in the pitcher is the heart that puts the thing through there. And the pitcher can be broken maybe emotionally, and a lot of older people have broken hearts emotionally from relationships that have fallen apart. Maybe a loved one has died. Maybe someone has left. Maybe a divorce has occurred. Things like that, and the heart is broken that way. But the heart also can break physically. You can have an MI. You can have a heart attack, as they call it. And then he goes on, or the wheel be broken at the cistern. Well, okay, well, if you ever study anatomy, the cistern is where the thing comes out, and at the cistern there's the heart, and the aortic arch is like a wheel that comes right off of here, an aorta. And one of the problems that happens is you get an aneurysm in the aorta. The aorta is shaped like a wheel as it comes off the cistern, comes off the heart there, and you get an aneurysm in there, and if it, what does he say, it gets broken. If that wheel gets broken at the cistern and it ruptures, it's all over. You're going to verse 7 real fast. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God. And when that thing happened, a ruptured aortic aneurysm, a ruptured aortic aneurysm, Kathy, not an aortic aneurysm that we discovered by X-ray, but a ruptured one. And I've been there with the best vascular surgeons. And they rush him to the OR. It's over. It's over. It's talk to God about it. It's part of the just process of why he determined it was time to pull the plug. Who holds death? I'm the Lord. I kill. I make alive. It's what he says in the book of Deuteronomy. He makes no apologies for it. Yeah. Yeah. That's what happened to a guy that went to this church here. There was a guy that went to this church when we first got the building. He was a nice man. He was a younger man. He was in his 40s. It was October. We had just had a beautiful October Sunday, and I thought, what a great day. And I remember shaking his hand as we were walking out, and I said, I'll see you. And the next day he went fishing, aortic aneurysm ruptured, dead. And they called me. That was on Monday. What? Oh, is he the one that did that? You might be right. You might be right, yeah. 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 And at that point, the dust returns to the earth. It's over. Yeah. Yeah. Nothing you can do. Nothing you can do. I've had him happen in the hospital. There's nothing you can do. I've had him right there. You can't do anything. Anyways, back to where we are. So, the infirmities of old age, verses 1 through 7. So, remember that Creator, because there's a day when the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return to God. That verse 7 lines up with Genesis 2, verse 7, where God explained that he took man from the dust of the ground, he formed a body, and then he breathed his spirit into him, and the man became a living soul. And the truth is that we have earthly bodies, and they cover a soul, a personal soul, an individual soul, a unique soul, a special soul that was made for the purpose of knowing its creator And God's desire is that none of the souls should perish, but all of them should come to repentance and turn back to their Creator and turn away from anything else that they've been putting their trust in. And today we live in a society that puts their trust in science and technology, and that's where they put most of their trust. But that's going to fail them, just like your iPhone is going to break one day and your computer is going to break one day. And these things happen. They fail. Only the Lord fails not. And we have this body covering a soul, and the spirit returns to God. It turns out that the life force of the soul is the spirit. Like Rush Limbaugh says, it's on loan from God. He says, I have talent on loan from God. What he has on loan from God is a spirit. And that spirit is like a battery. And that battery has an expiration date that God knows. He marks how long that battery will last. Now, he'll give anybody, as he says in Proverbs and other places, he'll give you permission to shorten it, but you can't lengthen it. So if he's already written this individual is going to live 79 years and 3 months and 10 days, but he says, but if you want to smoke or you want to get on a motorcycle without a helmet while you're drunk and it's raining outside and you want to cut it short, I'm not going to argue with you there. You can cut your life short, but you can't extend it. And so the battery's in there with the expiration date, and that date is only known to God. So God's command, ye must be born again. Born of the Spirit with a capital S. In layman's terms, like I got it here, you need to put an eternal recharger into your battery. Your battery is a little spirit. The eternal recharger is God's Holy Spirit. And once that's done, you're set for eternity. And you got to do this before God pulls the plug, the spirit, out of your soul at death, because then it's too late. There is no hope after death. Go to Isaiah chapter 38. Look at verse 18. Isaiah 38. Remember thy Creator now in the days of thy youth. You know, young kids die too. Today there's car accidents. There's plane crashes. There's drive-by shootings. Things that never used to happen before, back in the day Solomon was writing. There's drug overdoses. Kids doing drugs. Isaiah chapter 38. Now here the king Hezekiah, he had been sick and he had prayed to the Lord, and he realized, verse 16, O Lord, by these things men live, and all these things is the life of my spirit, so thou wilt recover me. He knew only God could recover him to make him live from that illness. Verse 17, for peace I had great bitterness. That's the only peace I knew was going to die. It was a fatal. The doctor told me I'm going to die. But the Lord decided to heal him. Thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. And then he realized what God had done, the greater work. Thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. But then in verse 18, realizing that he got that salvation before he died, he says, Isaiah 38, 18, for the grave cannot praise thee, death cannot celebrate thee, they that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth. It's too late. You can only receive the truth while the spirit is in the soul and the soul is in the body, and that's the time to remember the Creator and get to know Him as the Redeemer. So I wrote all these verses here since there's no hope after death. God has an invitation. I think we know it. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. God's assurance that if thou shalt, like John was reading on the radio last week, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. It's a matter of trust. It's not a matter of works. It's not behaveth unto righteousness. It's believe. By the way, it's interesting. All through the Bible, God had set this typology out that that in order to worship him, you had to bring a lamb. And he even told the people when they finally, and Abel was the first one to bring a lamb. And then you read, and Abraham brought lambs, and Isaac and Jacob learned to do it. But then finally, he codified it in a law to Moses in the written law in Exodus and Leviticus. And he told them, he said, when you bring that lamb is without spot and without blemish. In other words, when the worshiper was coming with his sacrifice and the priest stopped him, you know what got inspected? Not the worshiper, the sacrifice. He never inspected the worshiper. Yeah, wait a second, you got lice. Oh, wait a second, you got blemishes on you. It didn't matter what the worshiper had. It was only the sacrifice that was inspected. If the sacrifice was okay to God, the worshiper was brought in, even if he had bad breath and BO. It didn't matter because he brought the right sacrifice. And that's what it is when you bring the Lord Jesus Christ. You're bringing the right sacrifice. You're believing on the righteousness. You're not behaving. You're not cleaning yourself up. God is accepting you, the worshiper, when you bring the right sacrifice. The man believes unto righteousness. That's what it says. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. You're confessing, I need a Savior. Amen. And this is what I'm bringing for my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. There's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. The same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. That would be calling upon Jesus Christ, verse 9. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, that would be Jesus, verse 9, shall be saved. So God gives an invitation, God gives an assurance, and then Jesus Christ doubles down on it. And he's got his invitation in Matthew chapter 11. And you'll see the Father in agreement with the Son. And that's the story of the Bible. These two work together. They're inseparable. When you get one, you get the other. You get them both. You can't have them separately. You must bring them together. And Matthew chapter 11, in this particular time, what had happened is he had been speaking to the multitudes, and a lot of people were not listening, and he began to upbraid a lot of the cities like Capernaum and Chorazin, and he said, I've been doing all this work in you, and you're not listening, and you're all the Jewish people. I came to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and you're all turning away from me. So then he turned to the multitudes. And he said, and everybody, Gentiles, whoever happened to be nearby, Philistines, Assyrians, whoever, and he said, verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. That's his invitation, and his assurance is in the sixth chapter of John. Again, after he fed the 5,000 and all the people were there, and he said, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And that's why Solomon's advice echoes down through the pages of the Bible in the centuries. And the advice is, remember thy Creator. Get to know thy Creator. He'll tell you about the Redeemer. When you put your faith in God and you repent toward God, he'll tell you to put your faith in Jesus Christ and do it in the days of thy youth. And don't wait till you're old. And get serving now while you're still young. And you can give some of your best to God. Any thoughts or comments on what we looked at today? Well, let's pray. Yes, over in the back. There are passages, yes. No, I didn't put those together. I was merely looking. Yeah, there are deeper studies, and we're going to do Isaiah next. And so we'll cover the almond tree there in Isaiah, the way he looks at it. I was just looking at Solomon's first blush, talking about the infirmities of old age, and one of the things is, how do you know people are getting old when your hair starts changing color? That beautiful hair that you used to brush and comb all of a sudden is falling out, and it's white, and it's brittle. It's just like the almond tree in winter.